Ackerman, and we also had with her Olivia Miller and Peter Salinger, Bill Resnick, Larry Bolden, Jan Hocken, of course, Teresa Mitchell, and we'll be back next week, next Monday. Thanks.
Cebu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 3rd Annual Peace Festival, Saturday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Dolores Winningstad Theater in Portland. The Peace Festival theme this year is Just Us Speaks, and will showcase youth from all across the city with different backgrounds, worldviews, experiences, and insights who will share their hearts through the performing arts. Again, that's the 3rd Annual Peace Festival, Saturday, July 30th at 5 p.m. at the Dolores Winningstad Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, July 25th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Unconventional news at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First, a little weather, and as we all know, it is heating up in the city of brotherly love, and it's heating up here as well. It's for Cascadia, though. We have sunny. They always say sunny. They mean overpowering, mind-bending heat that paralyzes you the minute you go outside. So that said, sunny with a high near 84 and pretty much no wind to stir it up. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 62, and north-northwest wind 6 to 11 miles per hour. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, gradually clearing, becoming sunny, with a high around 81 and calm winds for tomorrow night. Again, a few clouds drifting back and forth across the starry firmament. Lows around 61 and 5 to 10 miles per hour worth of wind. That is the weather for Cascadia, an artifact of climate, not the same thing. Cascadia, of course, being our habitat and weather, an aspect of the habitat, one of the facets. Our guest today is Adam Johnson. Adam just wrote the piece with DNC leaks, former conspiracy theory is now true and no big deal. Well, that's what we want to talk about. If so, why is it that it's no big deal? And there's plenty of others. If that's not part of the big deal team, then there's plenty more going on in Philadelphia, and there has been for a while, notably the surveillance of groups expected to protest. These people have, the protesters were pretty much tried and convicted before they'd done anything. This is a phenomena that we see increasing across the country, where people who are expected to have done something supposedly illegal are convicted before they've ever lifted a finger to hit a keypad on any device. That's what we really should be looking at. Yes, surveillance is what leads to this crime against the citizenry. But it's a crime against the citizenry itself. The fact that that people, increasingly we see people convicted before they've actually committed anything, crime or otherwise. And we have so many, there are so many headlines today, as you can well imagine. Donna Brazile is back. I just can't keep that woman down. She's in every Democratic scenario that you can possibly imagine. Philadelphia or no Philadelphia. Disappearing ships or no disappearing ships. Wow, what a backdrop for the Democratic Convention and this year. And no better voice to take stock of the situation than our guest today, Adam, who is joining us. Adam Johnson is not in Philadelphia, not in fact in the U.S. of A. Good morning, Adam, and welcome to the KBOO airwaves.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're really honored and glad that you could join us today. You just wrote this piece with DNC leaks. Former conspiracy theory is now true and no big deal. That I love the word true is interesting here. Yes, indeed. And the thing about it is, I think that, in my opinion, that the Democrats have been obsessive in holding up truth as the standard for many years now, and see where it's gotten them. Meanwhile, the greatest discovery that the Republicans ever made was that lying wasn't illegal. Maybe it's in the Ten Commandments is something you shouldn't do. Ten Commandments being something that they're fond of attempting to quote, and usually misfires. But lying is you could do that in a campaign and everywhere else up and down Wall Street. But the truth here in the hands of Democrats, that's interesting. That piece. Would you just take listeners through that and up to the point where you write that it's no big deal? I want to ask you finally, of course, why is it no big deal?
Well, to be clear, I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I'm saying that they're saying it's not a big deal.
Yes, yes.
And first off, I apologize if I cut out at some point. I'm in Lebanon and my Wi-Fi is spotty. But my general thesis is that for months, Clinton partisans have said that the DNC is not biased, and any assumption that they are, or any implication that they are, is conspiracy theory and is sort of nutty and is not unsubstantiated. Whereas the DNC leaks over the weekend, I think, clearly indicate that there was an institutional and endemic bias, which again I think most thinking people assumed, given that the head of the DNC was a Clinton lackey. And the way the debate schedule was laid out was heavily in her favor, and so I think it's one of those things where most people assumed it was going on, and then now here we have, I think, evidence of it. You have evidence of coordination. You have evidence of trying to undermine the Sanders campaign. There's a general kind of you know, singular pronoun we when discussing Clinton, and there's this other thing, this kind of Sanders nuisance, which undermined the coronation. And I think it's interesting to me that what was once a conspiracy is now widely accepted as being true and kind of shrugged off. And so I call this the Snowden cycle. You saw this during the Snowden revelations. You'd say, oh, well, by the way, we now have evidence that the NSA is monitoring all your phone calls. And, you know, had you said that 2 months prior, people would have said that's crazy. But then you say it, and the response, the way the PR spin works, you say, oh, well, we know that. It's really not a big deal. It's not newsworthy. And so that was the way that they were trying to spin the DNC leaks, something kind of pedestrian and routine, and that of course is completely in contrast to how allegations about DNC bias handled before the leaks.
I know.
I guess I found that somewhat interesting.
It is, not to mention it is. You're one of those. We're laughing because otherwise we'd have to weep over the situation, conditions, so to speak, the conditions on the ground that politics in America has been reduced to this state that we have the Democrats. It's it's when anything that of significance comes down the pike, it's dismissed as a conspiracy, and then once proved true, then it's never mind that, it's not important anyhow.
Right.
That's an amazing strategy that almost beats the Republicans' strategy of just lying, just flat out lying. That's a far more simple-minded tactic, but I feel that the Democrats takes a little bit more thought, but ultimately it really doesn't have any more thought behind it than the other side, and I guess it really is two sides. So Debbie Wasserman Smith, she wants to hang on to that gavel, and it's going to be hard to wrestle it away from her, I guess, till the convention is been there, done that. What effect would her dismissal or her resignation have had had this happened, you know, voluntarily and earlier on?
I don't know. I don't know what difference it would have made. I think it's clear that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had a very clear purpose to get Hillary Clinton elected president. Over the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years since Obama's been in the White House, the Democrats have lost, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think it's roughly 7 or 8 governorships, a couple dozen seats in Congress. They've lost the Senate. They've lost multiple... I think hundreds of state seats. The Democrats have actually taken a bath since the Obama years. Where they win is in the White House, which of course has tremendous, you know, power. But they've all, grassroots wise, the Republicans under Ryan Priest are doing really well. So she basically, in my estimation, this is just my guess. Her job was to get Hillary Clinton elected. She's been a partisan of Clinton's for years. She's been a Clinton loyalist for years. So anyone who kind of knows what's going on knew the DNC would be biased. And I don't necessarily think had Debbie Wasserman Schultz not been in that position, they wouldn't have just replaced her with another flunky. You know, it's like Al-Qaeda number two, right? They'll just replace her with someone else.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So she's kind of become the scapegoat in a really ironic way. And you even saw this with Marcos, the head of the Daily Coast, which, you know, used to be kind of a progressive website, but now that he's got all that Vox money rolling in from Comcast, he's become an outright partisan shill. So the Daily Coast came out and said, oh, well, you can't say anything bad about Hillary Clinton after a certain date. I think the date was March 15th after it said primary. And the sort of talking point is that it's sort of time to fall in line. And that was sort of the general purview, I think, with the party itself, that Sanders was kind of an ideological summer fling that they needed to leave behind and go home back to their hometown and marry the you know, the local head of the bank that their father told him to marry, right? And so that's kind of what you saw happen. And I think all this is sort of obvious in the emails. And I think Sanders partisans are deeply upset by that, you know, rightfully, that they kind of believe that while they thought there was bias, that they would get a fair shake. And I think that that was never really going to be the case. Unfortunately.
That kind of brings us to the wrap up for the show today. I want to thank you so much. I know that it wasn't easy to get to get the phone call through, and we are lucky that we actually made it through the conversation without the phone lines cutting out. I'm absolutely convinced that had we been speaking about Palestine, that the phones would have cut out. I could say it now because we made it through the interview.
Possibly.
But anyway, I want to thank you so much. This has been the Dog and Pony Show in Philadelphia is being protested loudly and hotly and vigorously. The protests outside the convention center far, far louder and more energetic than anything going on inside, at least on the surface. Undercover, however, with the conspiracy theories that are boiling up and getting all ready to be set loose as actual truths, that we don't know, no idea. But we're going to call you and talk about it, hopefully, when those do emerge. Thanks again so much, Adam. My guest has been Adam Johnson, recently wrote the DNC Leaks Former Conspiracy Theory. It's now true, no big deal. That's it for today. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, July 25th, 2016. Engineering for us today is Natasha. I'm not going to try and say this. Debonair and Kathleen.